Morning. My name's David. It is good to be back with you, brothers and sisters. God is good. God took care of me, took care of wife, and Sally is making an improvement gradually, a little bit behind me, but thank you so much for all of your help, your support, and your prayers especially. God is good. He takes care of us all the time. So, let's get into God's Word. You know, my recent 9-day stay in the hospital, that's the first time I've ever been in the hospital for myself, for that type of thing. And it was one in which I was thrilled to have end. I was trapped. The doctors wanted me to stay some more, and I said, there's no need, and look at the information. You know, my original, I was in bad shape when I first went in, and I think I've shared with most of you, but during the exam at the urgent care, I passed out, and they had no idea what was going on, and that triggered emergency responses out of them, of course. But anyway, I was so glad to finally get out of there, and I called around for a ride and got a hold of Brother Robert and made him wait half the day as the hospital wheels ground through the information to let me out finally. Anyway, getting home, helping Sally, it has been a great experience to have freedom once again. Well, the doctors, as I said, wanted me to stay longer, but a better exam of the information showed that it was not necessary. I was good. I was ready to leave. I was fit, ready to go, and so they finally said okay. There was a woman who was interviewing a prospective maid for her house, and she asked the question, "Do you know how to serve guests?" And the lady said, "Yes, both ways." And the woman stopped and said, "Both ways? What do you mean by that?" "So they'll come again or not come back." And so I was ready to get out of the hospital. Sometimes we want people to move along, and yet there are people who still want us to stay longer. The Bible message is that God wants us to be with Him. How long? Forever. He wants us to walk with Him while we're in this world and on into eternity. He loves us so much. He wants to be with us constantly. He wants us to be His children in this world and into eternity in the new home that He is preparing for us. But that is only possible through one individual, Jesus Christ. And so that's why we keep preaching the gospel. That's why we keep opening up our Bibles and reading and studying and sharing the Word of God. Turn with me back to the book of Mark. Now it's been a month ago longer that we started this, and I came to this passage in chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, and I had so much I wanted to share with you from these verses. Those who were with us when I was here last month will remember these verses, but there is a third thought that I want to bring to you today. Starting at verse 12 in Mark chapter 1. Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. We have looked at this passage two previous Sundays. In that lesson, we see that our past exam, that God impels and prepares everyone who wants to be his servant. God moves in the hearts of those who will serve him. And God does not leave them on their own, but he helps them and prepares them for the work that he calls them to do. We also see that God does not isolate us from the world's problems. God does not put a big wall around us, but he wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. So in that process, we see that we are tempted in all things. And quite often, we sin. Yes? Scripture tells us, if we are not honest with ourselves, we do break God's laws. But God has given us the victory through the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome that sin. Amen? And through Jesus, we have triumphant victory over the ways of Satan and over evil power that is against God's ways. And God frequently gives us that extra push, that extra motivation, that help, that support that we need in those times of temptation to not fall for the trick. To not fall for the deception. Amen? And we are here to support each other in that work. God has blessed us as a church family, as part of the body, to support each other, to face life's challenges and temptations so that we do not sin as much as without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit. So God is good to us there. But there's a third lesson that I want to touch on from this passage as well, is that God's people share in God's care constantly. We constantly share in the blessings of God. No or yes? Amen. And we need to, as the old gospel song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Just give God the praise for the blessings that he surrounds us with. Christians are not left to fend for themselves in this world. We have God with us. Remember the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ before he departed from this world. I am with you. How often? Always, always, always. God is with us. Share in God's care. Let's look at that thought today. Join me in a word of prayer as we get started. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you for your help, your redemption, your strength, your power, your word, your spirit, so much. Father, let us truly count the blessings that surround us. Father, let us learn to share more in the care that you are giving, constantly taking care of your people. Let us walk with you and talk with you. We thank you that you know all things, that you are preparing us according to your plan for that which lies before us. Father, help us to trust you and walk in the faith that you call us to let you lead, and that we would gladly follow in obedience and dedication and service of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Share in God's care. How do we do that? What happens? Well, we see in our text here, first of all, that God protected Jesus during his life on earth. Amen. Jesus put on human flesh, became a full human being, even though he was God. He was a man walking in this world full of corruption. The domain, the kingdom, or the territory of Satan. We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. And as we read the scriptures, we see Jesus had to face those temptations just as we do. The man shared in God's care. We see this in verse 11, that God was taking care of Jesus. You know, many people believe that God just doesn't care about them. Don't you see that around you? People are, they know about God, but they don't know Him in their hearts. And they're living life as if they're out here on their own. It's all up to them. And it's so disappointing, so frustrating, because you want to help people. We want to see them find the personal relationship in Jesus Christ. But yet they still think that God is just out there, out of touch. He's just the force out there. For you sci-fi people. He's not the personal God. Or if they think that God will interact in their life, that God is a mean God. Don't get close to Him because He's going to hurt you. Right? I can't get too close to God because He's just out to get me. He wants to do bad things to me. They have not heard, or they have misunderstood the Christmas message of God putting on human flesh and coming to dwell among us. They have misunderstood, or they have not heard the message of John 3:16. I wore my John 3:16 tie today. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Whoever, anybody, everyone needs this message of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves them. This I know. Where? Because the Bible tells me so. My mommy and my daddy told me when I was little. They shared the message and encouraged me. Friends, neighbors encouraged me. Jesus is real. And we need to go out and share the message. Jesus is real. He came for you. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sins so that you can have life with God forever. The loving God, the God who cares about you, the God who wants to walk with you every moment of every day. God's angels took care of Jesus. We see in verse 13b, and we talked about this in a previous sermon, ministering to all of His needs during His 40 days out there in the wilderness, during His fasting and praying. I went about a week without eating. I just couldn't get the food in me fast enough, and I just had lost my total appetite. Man, I was hungry when my stomach finally woke up. Still am. Some of you said I look skinnier. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know which mirror, which glasses you got on today, but Jesus, 40 days of fasting, just surviving on water. Do you think He was hungry? Yeah, He was definitely hungry. I can understand a little bit of that myself now. Fasting and praying out there in the wilderness. And we talked in a previous sermon, there were threats out there. There were the threats of the nature, of the wild animals, of the bandits, just physically becoming so weak. And I understand that now. That I was so weak, I was like a wet noodle. Stand up, wet noodle. I couldn't. I was shot. What do you think Jesus was like after 40 days? His weakness, His physical weakness that He was going through, it was only by the power of God, the protection of God, the angel support of Him. Hey, Satan said, why don't you just turn these stones to bread? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word of the Lord of God. And so He knew where His strength was coming from. All that physical neglect, all those things that He was going through, but God was taking care of Him during that time. The divine protection continued with Jesus until the right moment when Jesus gave Himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He went through 33 years of life as the enemy of Satan walking in this world, not just the enemy of Satan, but Satan's servants. As He entered into the full-time ministry, He had enemies coming out of the woodwork constantly. Who were those enemies? Those who claimed to be God's servants. Those who were God's leaders. And they were doing all they could to stop Him, to hinder His teaching, to degrade him before the public. Did it work? Nope, didn't work, because Jesus was telling God's truth. And those who were seeking God were turning to God and finding hope in Jesus. Jesus continued on with the protection of God until he gave himself. The sacrifice of Jesus, what did that do? It paid for all the sin of all humanity. The perfect Lamb of God paid for all sin. My sin, your sin, the neighbor's sin, the most despicable people we can name from prison, from time past, from those who are still coming, those who are in our jails. Jesus paid for it all. Took it all upon himself so that we would have a chance, an opportunity to have a relationship with our Creator once again, with the God who loves us, the God who planned creation. God's plan was prepared and completely fulfilled as the Old Testament, the prophecies of old foretold the coming of the Messiah, that he would become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Read the book of Isaiah sometime and see how many of those prophecies Jesus fulfilled completely, totally. And it's not just the book of Isaiah. Go and clear back to that very first book of the Bible. What's the very first book of your Bible? Hey, you're still awake. I'm glad to hear that. Chapter 3, verse 15. The very first prophecy. God had the plan laid out before creation, we are told in Scripture, of sending the Messiah, Jesus. He willfully came. He prepared to come. He completed the task. Praise God for his love. The sin of the people against God required that one perfect sacrifice to pay for all the violations that we commit against God's perfection. Jesus Christ met that need fully and completely. We have no need of any other. Jesus is the complete fulfillment as Savior and Messiah. You know, there were many attempts, and all of those previous attempts to destroy Jesus all failed. Can you imagine going to your hometown and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and them driving you to the edge of a cliff? What's going to happen? Normally, you would get thrown off the cliff. Jesus turned and walked back through that angry mob without a hand laid upon him. God protected him. Well, it didn't start there. Go back and look at the very beginning. God was with Mary during her pregnancy, nourishing her body, this young virgin girl in a culture that was living from hand to mouth. How many people were starving to death? Mary could have been one of those. Satan could have fought against her physically. We don't know. The Scripture doesn't tell us what struggles Mary went through as a young virgin in bearing the infant Jesus. And yet she came through that pregnancy fine because God was protecting her, just as he protects all of his children. Mary made it through her pregnancy, the nourished child in the womb developed, and Jesus was born. God is greater than all distress, all problems. God is the giver of all human life. Scripture is very clear that we are made in God's image, and God protected that little infant baby Jesus in her womb. We need to join in the battle. If you're not doing something about that, Scripture calls for us to support life, protect life. We are to do our part in protecting God's gift of children. Moving along, God was with Mary during her trip to Bethlehem. Can you ladies imagine riding on a donkey at full term? Those of you who had to carry the babies. God was with Mary during that journey to Bethlehem to get to where the prophecy said the Messiah must be born. And God was with her as she delivered her baby. Where did she deliver it? Which hospital? Local Barnes. 101. Can you imagine how much filth was in that barn? Just let your mind wander for a little bit. Okay, that's long enough. Okay. And yet God protected both Mary and baby Jesus from any contaminants that were going on. God was with Jesus. God was with Jesus when God warned Joseph, hey, you got to get out of town right now. Wake up. Wake up. Get Mary. Get the baby. Get out of town. Herod's coming to destroy you. And then God led Joseph when it was time to come back into Jerusalem, through Judea, up to that little town called Nazareth, a podunk, backwoods community where Jesus was foretold he would come from. God was with Jesus his entire life. Amen? He was a man living in a world of all kinds of problems. The Romans were oppressing. The Romans were slaughtering the Jews at random, crucifying people left and right. We are not told what happened to the father of Jesus. We don't know. But he could have been one of those victims of Roman sword or Roman spear or Roman cross. Scripture doesn't say. He might have died from natural causes, probably worked himself to death. He had several kids to feed. We don't know. But God was with Jesus and protected him from all the things that could have harmed him. Being a lumberjack, that's a dangerous work. What was the occupation of Jesus? He was a carpenter. He could have cut himself, could have got infection, blood infection, and died from that. He didn't. He could have had a tree fall on him. He didn't. My understanding of the carpenters of the first century, they were not just carpenters, they were also bricklayers. They were also stonemasons. Whatever it took, they did the work. Hard labor. And Jesus was protected by who? By God, his Father. Through it all, the oppressive Romans, daily hazards of living, world, sickness, disease, wicked people, wild beasts, whatever it was, God was with Jesus until the day that he needed to give his life. Jesus shared in God's care every day of his life. As we look at the rest of the group, God protected the first century church as it began on earth. The New Testament records several testimonies of believers who shared in God's care. And we need to read those stories and be encouraged. But just looking at the beginning of the group of the disciples that surrounded Jesus, what we eventually become, those who are appointed to the work, the 12 apostles, those who are appointed to the specific work of spreading the gospel. The 12 apostles were protected by God in his timing. Were they protected from all of the evil of the world? No, we read in the book of Acts that James was the first one who was killed, an apostle killed. Yes, an apostle was killed by the enemy. God allowed it, but James did his work that God had called him to. He was faithful even to death. But the 12 apostles were protected by God in his timing. Our text records the day that the first four disciples walked away from their jobs in order to dedicate themselves to full-time service to Jesus. Now, if we read the other Gospels, we read that there was a time period before Jesus actually called them to give their lives, before Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But when Jesus made that offer, what did they do? They dropped it all and immediately began trusting Jesus and trusting in God's daily provision. They put their full trust in walking with Jesus. 3.5 years spent with Jesus, trusting in God. And did God take care of them? Yes, he did. Which days? Mondays? Thursdays? Every day. Every day. God provided for their protection. God protected them from their enemies. God provided for their food needs. Man, is God good? Yes. Those who put their trust in God are taken care of. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." What will God do? Whatever it is that you need, He will take care of you. I want to sidestep here just for a second and encourage you. If any of you are being led by God's Spirit to go into service for Him, don't hinder the Spirit. Trust Him. Walk with Him. If you're talking to your kids, neighbors, friends, and they are being moved to, you know, God is really laying on my heart, I need to serve Him in some greater way, a full-time service, but man, it's scaring me. Encourage them. Does the world need more preachers, teachers, evangelists? Yes. How is the world going to know about Jesus if we don't prepare some more preachers, teachers, evangelists, some more missionaries? And we need to do our part as our congregation. We need to pray that God will speak to the right person and that we will be there to support them and encourage them in the work that is so desperate. You know, I'm 65 years old. I just went through an experience that could have taken my life. One of my preacher friends, a guy younger than me, died within a week, just this couple days ago. Life is short. We could call Brother Rob to come up and preach every week, right? Is that what you're thinking? You know, someday we are going to be running out of people to do the preaching. How long did you guys search for a preacher before you got me? You know, we need to be praying about this, doing our part in working and preparing more servants of God for full-time service, maybe part-time service, whatever it takes to get the gospel spread. Or did you want to preach? Let me know. I'll work with you. God is with His people who will put their trust in Him. Every day. By the power of Almighty God and the resurrected Lord Jesus, the apostles began spreading the message of salvation into an environment that was extremely hostile to their message. The same Jewish leaders who gave Jesus the death sentence wanted to stop the message of Jesus that the apostles were preaching. The apostles suffered repeated physical abuse. They continued serving Jesus, trusting in Him, working in spite of the physical neglect we're receiving, even giving their lives. I mentioned the first apostle, James, the first to go. The book of Acts records some of the beginning of the body of Christ, the church. The people from all walks of life and all parts of society put their trust in the salvation that was offered in who? In Jesus Christ. They trusted Him. And God watched out for them. The message of salvation through Christ flourished in the hearts of the people who were seeking the truth, those who were lost in sin and realized they needed help, and God was with them. True hope and life had come in Christ. There's no other Savior giving life. God was with them. The letters of the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, and others record the faithful and continued personal care and protection of God for His beloved children. The illegal practice of following Jesus continued to spread through all of the Roman occupation because God cared for His people. And it spread to the remotest part of the earth. Because God is with His people. Amen? Believers were called to dress for spiritual battle against Satan and the powers of evil, to stand firm in Jesus Christ. And those believers stood firm in their faith, and they continued to tell others about Jesus, even if it was against the law, because it was truth. It was life, and people needed truth and life. They suffered loss, they suffered abuse, they suffered ridicule, they suffered torture, they suffered death. But they were faithful to God, and God is faithful to His people. He is the one who gives us eternal life. He is the one who gives us help day by day. He is the one who strengthens us, because Jesus conquered the grave, and He promises us life after this world as well. The book of Revelation declares the victory of God and His children when He decides that this world must end. Our world talks a lot about the destruction and that the world is coming to an end because people are just tearing up the world, not treating the world right. Wrong answer, wrong reason. God is the one who keeps this world going, the entire universe going, and when God says enough is enough, it is because God decides. It's not because of some stupid act that we as people do in this world. It's because God determines this world will end. God will put the universe to a stop. He's the one who started it. He was the one who brought it into existence. He is the one who will snuff it out at the right time when He says so. And we must be ready for that day. The Apostle Peter encourages us. Turn in to with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 9 through 13. But the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to what? Repentance. Turning to Him. Walking with Him. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with the intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. That's going to be great. Perfection. But only when God says it will happen. It is coming. We were talking in a men's group this last Thursday night. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. We better be ready. Not because of the bad stuff, but Jesus wants us to be ready when? All the time. We need to be ready now. And if we're not walking with Jesus, we are in danger. We have endangered ourselves. Don't endanger yourself. Be sure that you're walking with Jesus constantly. Obeying Him, how often? Constantly, every single day. Just as the examples of brothers and sisters in the Scripture were faithful, we need to be faithful as well. The world needs help, and you've got the help. Share the message of Jesus with the people around you. The book of Revelation warns us there's an end coming. Jesus will rise in victory. All of His Those who follow Him will be victorious with Him. Those who have rejected Him, those who have not followed Him, those who have been lukewarm will be rejected and will suffer the lake of fire, hell, for eternity. I don't want that. I don't want you to have that. God doesn't want you to have that. Be faithful. Walk in faithfulness. The first Christians shared in God's care every day. What about us today? God continues to protect His children. Have you felt God's protection? Have you experienced God's protection? Give Him praise. If you haven't, I just tell you, the Scripture says He's there. Somehow you have missed it. Somehow you have missed it. He is there. He's taking care of you. Give Him the praise. We as Christians today still share in God's care. The final promise of Jesus still remains true. Behold, I am with you always. Say it. Always. Jesus is with us always. Never forget it. The Holy Spirit continues to work in you who submit to Jesus Christ. He's working on the inside. God living in you. Some of you have been resisting Him. Some of you have been hindering. Some of you have been fighting Him to stop His work. But He is there trying to do the will of God in you and through you. You've got to open up to Him. You've got to follow Him. It's up to you. Your choice. Follow God, walk with God, or I'm going to do it my way. Your way will not last long. God's way lasts forever. The Spirit is still there waiting for you to submit so that He can perform the will of God in your life, so that He can lead you, to walk with you, to help you in your decisions, to fight against the temptations, the challenges, to give you the words to say when somebody needs help, to give you the righteous decision when you've got a decision to make. All the things of life, God is there for you constantly. We practice love by helping each other as a spiritual family of believers. So many of you have reached out to Sally and me during this last few weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God for the family of God. I missed being with you. But God is good. And He creates us, makes us a family to help each other, to stand with each other, to encourage one another, to listen to each other's challenges and offer wisdom, strength that God has given us to have the support there for each other. Expressing love. The world will know us as Christians by our love for one another, Jesus said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Keep it up. It's what we are called to do. Walk in love every single day. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 reminds us of the importance of this gathering and every week, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. We've got to be faithful every day and support each other every day. Call each other. When was the last time you called and checked on somebody you're not too familiar with? You know, God's given us a wonderful tool, telephones. We got the little list of our phone numbers with each other. Let's keep encouraging each other. We need it. Our world's falling apart around us. And we need to support one another, encourage each other. Thank you for all the phone calls you've given to us. Gathering regularly and consistently is vital to our spiritual well-being as Christians. Hebrews chapters 10, verse 23 through 25 warns us against neglecting the gathering. If we are family, we are here to support one another. Have you really made Jesus your master and the church family, your brothers and sisters? That's the challenge. That's the question. And so if you are struggling with something, find one of us and share it with us. We need to be supportive of each other. Amen? Let's do it. Let's do it. Some of you are already doing it. Some of you are fantastic in doing it. I'm the old school, I'll do it myself. That's not the way the church is to be. We are to be working together side by side and helping each other and learning that humbleness, submission, support of one another, working as a team, working as family. A godly family, not the destructive families that we see around us. And some of you have been part of a family that really wasn't a family, not there to support one another. My heart goes out to you. I had a fantastic family growing up, still do. Let me share a little bit of that with you sometime. But reach out to each other. We are family. The body of Christ, the church, is family. Everyone who comes through these doors and puts Jesus in first place, they are family. And we need to be there to help them in their struggles. Whenever somebody comes into Christ, they are described as a babe, as a baby. What do babies bring with them? Dirty diapers. A lot of stink. A lot of problems. A lot of attention. A lot of needs. What are we to do on our part? If we're a mature Christian, we are to be there to help them through those struggles. When we give our life to Christ, we don't immediately become perfect in everything. We still carry a lot of baggage, a lot of stuff. And so we need to be there for those who are coming to Christ with stuff. And I know you can do it. Because you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it with the help of who? With God, with Jesus Christ, with the help of His Spirit living in you. It's by His power, by His strength. One other factor that we often forget and neglect, and we touched on this, I believe, in the previous sermon, God's angels are protecting you. We don't talk about that a lot, do we? But the Scripture teaches us that the angels of God are taking care of us just as they took care of Jesus during that 40 days. Just as the angels were taking care of the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, they are doing God's will, protecting you until the day God says, okay, it's time for you to come home. Don't forget, God loves you that much that He gives you protection from heaven. How do we know this? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14 tells us. Psalm chapter 91 tells us. Take time to read those. Be reminded. You might want to write it on your wall. Do a little home graffiti. God is with us. We can share in God's care. How often? Always. Every day. Every moment of every day. God impels us and prepares us. Everyone who surrenders to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He allows Satan and evil to still tempt us and work against us, but that is to make us stronger. James chapter 1 talks about that. Use those challenges as stepping stones to increase in strength, spiritual strength with God and trusting in God. And when you goof, when you mess, seek the protection and forgiveness that God offers in Jesus Christ. His blood covers how much sin? All sin. If you'll just confess your sin and find the strength to move past those sins, God will empower you and God will be with you. How often? Always. We continue to share in God's care today. We are blessed. Give God the praise. If you haven't found that blessing in Jesus, we would love to talk with you personally, ask questions, get your answers, but find Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Find His power. Find His strength to move through this life, not just through this life, but into the glories of God forever. Would you pray with me? Father, be with us. Let us be Your people. Let us remember Your goodness. Let us remember Your power and Your strength is with us always. To be Your people, to be Your witnesses in a world that's fallen apart, a world that is full of evil and corruption, people who are destroying themselves. Father, give us the strength, the wisdom, the love to reach out, to minister to them. And we pray for a harvest that comes from Your blessing. Be with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.